The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Welcome to the Blackhawks Talk Podcast. I am Pat Boyle, joined by Charlie Romeliotis, and it's our honor to have the head coach of the Chicago Blackhawks, Jeremy Colliton, on this podcast. We'll talk to him about how it's like balancing, trying to put out a winning lineup on the ice while trying to give younger players an opportunity to develop and the growing pains that will happen. We'll also ask Jeremy what it was like to be on that Zoom call with the core players last week who voiced their concern about the direction of the team. Did he feel that the core four is on board with this rebuild? Plus, what's it like coaching future Hall of Fame players during a rebuild and also trying to earn their trust? And his thoughts on playing three goalies with very little NHL experience and taking them into the next campaign. It's all coming up next on the Blackhawks Talk Podcast.
Born in the Rockies, Coors Light is lagered cold for a crisp, clean taste. Filtered cold to ensure clarity and brightness. And packaged cold for peak refreshment. Because those who thirst for more deserve the world's most refreshing beer.
Jeremy, first up, thank you for doing this. You're in Calgary as we speak. Just tell us what it's like walking around in Calgary as a head coach of a National Hockey League team. Do you get some different looks now than you did a couple years ago?
Well, it's pretty normal. I think for the most part, I'm blend in. I don't have a huge profile. Obviously, if I was coaching a Canadian team, it might be a little bit different. Yeah, of course, like with kids hockey and stuff, people do, they clue in, and I'm doing some coaching with those teams. So obviously word gets around a little bit, but you know, for the most part, it's pretty normal, pretty standard how I've been living for the other years of my life.
Jeremy, the team sent out a release this week saying that we're committed to developing young players and rebuilding our roster. As a coach, how do you balance trying to put a winning lineup on the ice and making the best decisions to win that game, but also balancing the development of the younger players?
Yeah, well, I'm excited because I feel like we can be more open about what we're doing. We have had a focus on development since I got here anyway. And you know, I'm just, like when I look at our team and trying to look forward, like I'm not that interested in being a bottom half team, being a bubble team, hoping to sneak in, catch lightning in a bottle, win a couple rounds. It does happen. And, you know, we can all point to success stories and things where teams go on a run, but it's not sustainable. You know, we are more interested in being, we want to be an elite team. We want to be a top 10 team where every year we're in the mix to go deep into the playoffs. And so everything we do here should be, with that end in mind. And so as a coach, we're still trying to win. Part of development is being in competitive situations and playing in big games. And you know, our playoff experience at Edmonton there was tremendously valuable for our young players. And so we want to get ourselves in those situations as much as possible, but we want to do it while playing young players. And I think this past season was a perfect example where we had a lot of young guys in the lineup. A lot of them played big roles. At times it looked like they weren't ready, but we give them feedback and help them along. And I think a lot of those guys were huge parts of the success we did have. And that's how we're looking at things. So, you're still trying to win every night. But I think the idea that the coach's only focus is to win that night, that game, that's not really how I think. That's not the environment I want to have. Like if I'm choosing someone to run my team or run a business, I don't want someone who's only thinking about short term and burning resources. We all want to have short term success, but not at the expense of long term success. And that's what I want to be part of. So I think it makes it easier for us to do what we have to do. And then some of the decisions that we make, maybe it makes a little more sense to people on the outside, whether it's media or fans.
I think one of the decisions made, and certainly going with youth, is in net. It was such an important part of your team last year with Robin and Corey. The decision to let Adelia, Subban, and Lankinen, you know, battle it out and see who emerges. What was your involvement in that process? And knowing how important goaltending was last year, and yet, you know, where you finished before the pause, are you a little nervous, or do you think it's a little risky to put it all on those three to try to, you know, keep you guys afloat and keep you in games?
Well, obviously, you know, I'm involved with Stan. We have conversations all the time about things we're doing and where we're going as a team. And, you know, I'm not Stan, I think, has gone into the breakdown as far as how, you know, we came to those decisions. But, and we need to continue to develop players. We need to continue to give them opportunity. We got three guys who we feel any one of them could step forward and take the ball and show that they can be a starter in the league. And we got to see how that plays out. Having said that, like, we need to get better defensively to protect them. And when we look at the development of our team and getting where we need to go, I mean, that's part of, you know, the focus for us has to be we got to have the puck more. We need more offensive zone time, offensive zone, puck possession. We want to win the scoring chance battle. We want to be smarter with how we manage the puck, you know, leaving the next line in a better spot, like all these things, that's what's going to add up to winning. So, you know, it's just part of the process for us here.
Jeremy, I remember talking to Duncan Keith after the 2017-18 season when Crawford went down with that concussion mid-year. And he said the team found themselves playing a little bit more conservatively because they had those two inexperienced goalies as his replacement. Do you worry that the style is going to have to change? Like, they can't be a little bit more aggressive knowing that they don't have Crawford as that buffer back there anymore?
Well, I don't know if the style needs to change as much as we just need to get better at it. Like, we need to, decisions we make, they're always important. Finding a way to advance the puck, move it forward, you know, doing a better job of being on the defensive side of the puck when we are defending to limit those chances, doing a better job of boxing out. You know, those things, they're important no matter who your goalie is. So we got to find a way to improve in those areas. That's what we need to do to be a top team.
The exit of Corey certainly sent ripples across Blackhawks fan base. Also, you know, Jonathan Toews spoke out about it. You were involved in that Zoom call with the core players last week. What was your takeaway from that meeting with Duncan Keith, Jonathan Toews, Seabrook, and Patrick Kane?
Yeah, it was another opportunity for us to communicate to where we're going, what the plan is. It's not the first time that we've had those conversations. We had them in exit meetings. I've had them throughout the season, last two seasons. We need more depth. We need to develop young players. We need to give young players opportunity. When we look at the playoffs, it was a step forward. We played well against Edmonton. I thought we played well against Vegas, but they had more depth than us. They had more guys who can make a difference. And so if we want to be in a position to win those types of playoff series, we need more of those guys in our lineup. And we're not in a position where we can go out and sign a bunch of established, you know, top nine forwards or top 4D. we're going to need to develop them from within. And so that's basically what we said. That's what we said in the exit meetings. That's what we said in the Zoom call, is we're going to continue to have that focus, because ultimately that's how we're going to be an elite team again. And I think for veteran players, sometimes, you know, what you don't understand or don't agree with the decisions day to day, as far as, well, how come that guy's playing in that situation? He doesn't deserve it, or he's not ready for it. And sometimes that's even true, but at the same time, we have to look at the bigger picture and what's best for the group and getting the Blackhawks back to being an elite team. And sometimes, as a player, you're just focused on what's right in front of you, and that's what you should do, because that's what you can control. But ultimately, if we can build our group back up again, it's going to only benefit those veteran players, because they're going to have a chance to be on a cup contender. And hey, listen, it's they may not all be around for that, and that's part of the business. Like, that's, everyone goes through that. There's turnover, there's change, timing doesn't always line up, but at the same time, we still need to do what's best for the group. So we're going to do that.
I asked you during exit interviews whether the mentality and the buy-in of the entire group is what's going to allow you guys to take that next step. And you obviously agreed. After meeting with those core veterans, do you feel like you guys are all on the same page in how you guys can approach going into next season mentality wise? Because those guys do set the locker room tone.
For sure. And they need to. They need to be on board with the things we're talking about, putting the next line out in a good spot, managing the puck, being willing to focus on the defensive game. Maybe you got to play a shift where nothing happens, just don't get scored on, get out of D zone and change. Those are all things we've been talking about with the whole group, and we need it to be up and down our lineup, that mentality, willingness to work away from the puck, willingness to compete, for 35, 40 seconds, as opposed to maybe resting, playing a minute 10, minute 20. That's what winning teams do. So, if we want to be a better team, we have to do it. So there's not much to talk about. That's what we need to do. And there's no pushback there. It's just, when the rubber hits the road and we start playing again, do it from the start and not wait a couple months.
What concerns did the core players express to you in that meeting and to Stan?
Well, it's just, how do we... They want to win right now, obviously, and that's understandable. And so do we. We want to win every night, but at the same time, we have to – it goes back to what I said in the beginning. I'm not interested in being a bubble team and being a bottom half team who just tries to get lucky. We need to build this back up. And in order to do that, we need to give young players opportunity. That's the right thing for the Blackhawks, and that will be the right thing for them eventually, if we can build this back up as quickly as possible.
Obviously the word rebuild has been thrown around, and even Johnny had talked about it too in that interview. Did you have to clarify that, hey, we're not tearing this thing down, we're just trying to add young pieces to allow you guys to play, lessen the burden on those guys?
Yeah, that was Stan definitely covered that. I mean, I don't think we've ever said that we're trying to tear it all down. That was kind of, we made a couple moves and then media reads between the lines, and we're getting rid of everyone, and that's not what we're trying to do. But it's more of a continuation of what we did last year. We had a lot of young guys in. We still had some veteran guys. We're going to have some veteran guys. You need them as part of the mix. You can't have all 21-year-olds, and you also can't have all 29, 32-year-olds, because it's not the way the league is. Just with the cap, the money doesn't work. And it's also, when you look at your team early in the season, if you have a 33-year-old and a 22-year-old, the development that you can have from game 5 to game 70 in a 22-year-old, that opportunity, you want to take advantage of it. And certainly we need those guys to be close enough that they're ready to play at that level and can handle the responsibility. And if they're not, then obviously, Rockford is a great option for us. and we're going to use Rockford as well, but it's going to help us. I want to coach the team looking ahead. How can we build the best group for game 70 so that we have a chance? And that's what we did last year. But it's also, how can we build the best group for next year and the year after? We can do all those things at once. It's not, you can hold two or three different thoughts in your head at the same time. And that's our job as a coaching staff and management, to think about those things. And it's a player's job to do everything they can to show an example of how we should play, to compete in every situation, have good habits with and without the puck. And then it adds up to success.
What's it been like for you to coach a few future Hall of Famers during this transition period where you're trying to build something and, you know, you're trying to earn their trust in your approach? Has that been difficult? What's it been like?
Yeah, well, it's always a challenge. It's the NHL. It's the best league in the world. And certainly the success that this club has had in the past 10 years, you know, there's been a level of expectation that's been set, and everyone's used to winning the cup. And so we've been in a bit of a transition where, you know, it's understanding where we're at. Like, people on the outside, I don't think anyone was picking us to win the cup this year or the year before. I don't think there's a lot of people who didn't pick us to make the playoffs, but we got a bunch of competitors who expect that they want to be there every year, and that's why they're good. But as a coach, I also have, and manage Stan too, we got to know where we're at as a team. And so, you know, sometimes when you make decisions, you know, for example, it's like there's a D zone faceoff at the end of the second period, and I'm going to put Kirby out there to take it, even though, you know, faceoffs they're not a strength of his yet. It's sometimes on the bench, it's like, what are you doing? Why are you doing that? Why are you making that decision? And I understand that if you look at it just with a very short term lens, that is maybe not the best decision. But at the same time, we need to help Kirby get used to doing those things and to have success. And, you know, okay, if he loses a faceoff, then he's got to find a way to survive the defensive zone shift and get out and change with the puck and change in the offensive zone. But sometimes he's going to win it too. And the investment we make in game 10 or game 30 or game 50 of doing that, that's going to pay off, whether it's in the playoffs or the next season. And that's, I would say that's the biggest point of, sometimes there's a little bit of, I don't know if friction is the right word, but I'm not just focused on right here, right now. I'm focused on how can I make this team better so that we can win. And, you know, now and in the future, and players are focused on the right here, right now. And how does this affect me? And, you know, that's, it's not a bad thing. Like, conflict is not a bad thing, but it's my job to take care of the group and take care of the Blackhawks. And knowing that if we have that approach, it's going to be, for the most part, best for the individual as well, not everyone. And that's part of the thing too, is like, sometimes the decisions that you make are bad for certain individual players. That's life. Like, that's part of it. I can't coach the team so that all 25 guys think this is the perfect situation and they're getting everything they want. And sometimes that's a veteran guy who isn't getting, you know, things aren't always breaking his way. And sometimes it's a young player, but all those decisions need to add up to us being an elite team as soon as possible. And that's my focus.
You say as soon as possible. In your eyes, do you have a timeline on when you think you can be, obviously you want short-term success, but you also want to be perennial playoff contenders, not just, you know, playoff team next year. Stan feels like, you know, he said he feels like the worst is kind of behind us, right? We're back on the upswing. Where in your eyes do you see, okay, maybe in a couple of years we can build this thing back up to being playoff contenders perennially again?
Yeah, I think it's right to not, I don't think we can set a date, say drop dead, this has to happen, because it, you know, hockey's random. It's a lot of things that happen that are, you know, they're out of your control. But what we can control is how we go about it and the process that we work with. I think we are on the way up. We are showing progress. Point totals, in the regular season, the last 2 years were similar, but I think you can't even compare the group, like much younger. I've said before, we had more entry level guys than anyone. We had 5 of our top 10 scorers were entry level guys. And we had some success and we got better as the year went on. And so that's progress. We're on the way up. And next year we're going to look to do, similar, try to, continue to stay competitive, do it with an even younger group and, build a mentality that is going to be sustainable long-term so that we can win year after year and constantly be in the mix and develop. It has to be an environment where players are constantly getting better. And that's, to me, that'll be progress. And then the results will take care of themselves. Having said that, okay, once whatever date you want to look ahead to, and we're winning playoff rounds and people on the outside are picking us as a team that can contend for a cup, that development mindset still needs to be there, because we don't want to just, have a good team for 2 or 3 years and that's their window to win. And if they don't do it, they got to start all over. That's, again, I'm not really interested in that. That's not exciting to me. I want to be constantly developing young players, integrating them into the lineup, investing in them so that there's more competition for ice. There's more competition for roles. It makes it easier as a coach to hold guys accountable to the standard that we've set as a team. And then you can, continually be at the top of the league. So we're trying to, it needs to be cool to practice. It needs to be cool to, try to develop yourself, work after, on your skills, get in the gym so that you're constantly getting better. That's the type of environment we want to have. And that's going to help get us where we need to go.
You talked about getting better defensively. The Saad trade brings Zadorov in. He mentioned to us on the Zoom that you spoke to him about being part of a shutdown pair. What does he bring to this team, and who are you thinking about pairing Zadorov with?
Yeah, well, he adds a dimension that we don't have a lot of. He's very physical and he wants the contact. And when you're on the ice against him, you better know where he is. But he's a tremendous skater, and so that's a really nice combination to have when you're looking about. We want to. It's a guy who can get stops in the defensive zone, get a pin, separate a guy from the puck, allow us to get out. It's also a guy with his skating. He can hopefully, we want him to force turnovers in the neutral zone as well. So those are things that, we'll be emphasizing with him. Already have, on that first call. We think there's more in him. He's still a young player, 25 years old, but he's played a lot of games. He's played in the playoffs. He's killed penalties. He's played against top players. So it's up to, we're going to work together. We need his investment and his engagement as well. But we think there's more there. He's going to get an opportunity. I think Stan mentioned, we have some, more skating skilled, right-handed defensemen that we could possibly pair him with. But, I think we got to let it play out too. I mean, things evolve as the year goes on and as seasons go on. And, but we do feel he can be an important piece for us going forward.
I agree with you. I think he seems like the perfect candidate to pair with a guy like Adam Boqvist or Ian Mitchell, where, they're learning on the fly. But I'm looking at the defensive corps, and I know that you like to say, this will sort itself out in training camp. But, Slater Cuckoo isn't part of the fold anymore, where he was like that perfect seventh defenseman where he can go a couple weeks without playing, steps into the lineup, and it seems like he doesn't skip a beat, right? I know you don't like healthy scratching those young guys because you want to give them playing time, and that's the goal. How do you see that shaking out, obviously, if everyone is healthy when Brent Seabrook is back as well?
Yeah, well, as you said, it will play out. Guys get nicked up and you never have a full healthy group. You rarely have a full healthy group. But we're going to give young players opportunity. And if we feel they're ready or close enough to ready that playing will help them progress, then we're going to do that. And That being said, it's not a blank check. It doesn't mean you're just going to play no matter what. There's going to be times where they don't play. Maybe they got to spend time in Rockford. It's not, I think Stan has talked about this a little bit recently too. I think in the past with young players, like there's a lot of hype when they come in and they're going to be ready to make a difference right away. And with young players, things go up and down, day to day, week to week. And what they need in the moment is sometimes different. Sometimes they need to play 25 minutes. Sometimes they need to not play. Sometimes they need to be in Rockford. And every decision we make needs to be with their long-term development in mind. But I feel like a lot of times when you pull a guy out of the lineup or he goes to Rockford, it's looked at as a complete failure. It's like, I don't agree with that at all. It's just part of their progression. And sometimes they got to go through some adversity that can be helpful to a player to go through some hard times and come through it and come out stronger and learn more about his game. And sometimes they need to make a mistake and just have the coach come over and say, listen, you know what happened. I need you to do this better. Now go out and do it and go right back out on the ice. And again, that's part of the art of coaching is trying to figure out when is the right time to use all those different tools you have. And it doesn't mean we're going to be perfect. We make a lot of mistakes as a coach. It's part of the business. It's not an exact science, but we have to look at each of these young players. We're trying to look ahead and how can we help them be a difference maker later in the season or next year or the year after. And that's going to be our approach.
We are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
The power play was a unit of strength for the bulk of your first season as coach of the Hawks. Second season, it was a struggle with most of the same guys before Gustafson got moved. Then you add to the picture Doc and Kubalik. Why do you think the power play took such a huge step backwards last season?
Yeah, I think, we had the group that we went with two seasons ago and they had a lot of success. And I feel that we gave them a lot of rope because they showed that they could do it. For it wasn't just they had a good month. They had, a good 3 months, 4 months. So we let that play out and we try to give them time. Again, it's hockey's a random game a lot of times, and posting in, posting out, and getting a bounce, and sometimes you gotta stick with things long enough for the randomness to sort of fall to the wayside. But at some point too, you want to try something different. And I think with that group, I think Gustafson didn't have it as good a year. Both, just pucks weren't going in the net, but also I think the confidence he lost a little bit of confidence in that spot. Same thing with DeBrincat. He seemed like every puck he shot went in 2 years ago, and then this year he couldn't buy one. He had some tremendous chances, just didn't go in. And that's sometimes it's like that. So
on that front on DeBrincat, do you think Do you think it was a puck luck year that went awry for him, or do you think the one-timer was off and that was the area of concern?
Yeah, I think a lot of it was puck luck. I think a lot of it was just pucks not going in for him. When you look at the chances he created, I would argue he maybe had more last year than he did the year before. They just didn't go in. But we know he can score. I mean, I don't think that's up for debate. He's a scorer. He's got a tremendous release. He's a finisher. So I think that'll sort itself out. I think his play away from the puck has improved. I think on the outside, people maybe view that he had a down year, but that's only production. I think everything else he's improved. And so he's still really young. And there's a lot of guys who are coming into the league as rookies. They're highly touted and they're a couple of years older than him. He's already played 3 years and shown he can produce. So he's a big piece of where we're going. But going back to the power play, I think what we did as the year went on is we tried to give those young guys we feel are they're going to be part of the solution going forward. We kind of plugged them in when maybe probably weren't ready for it, but it wasn't working for us. So why not try it? Why not try Kirby? Why not try Nylander? Why not try Bokas at the top? You know, Kubalik obviously earned a position there, and it's just trying to find something. We're looking for something that's sustainable where we can be a top 10 team. And, we're going to keep playing around with it. I just think we got so many guys who have, offensive ability, young players. The investment we make by giving them those chances now, that'll pay off, again, game 50, game 70 next year, the year after, and help us be a top team.
Is there anything you learned watching the rest of the Stanley Cup playoffs in whether it's power play, penalty kill, 5-on-5 play, and wanting to maybe tweak things structurally going forward?
Well, I'd probably say it is more just a reinforcement of what we have to do, where we have to get to as a team. The competitiveness without the puck is huge. The skating, the pressure, the relentlessness, willingness to play a hard game to advance the puck. I mean, you look at the teams that are, having success, they don't turn the puck over. They find a way to advance it, making clean plays, carrying it, making plays up ice, getting it in, getting over lines, but they also aren't afraid to just get it deep and get off, let the next line, put the next line in a good spot. I think that's, we need to be better there. And that's something I think we improved. That's part of why we played better in the second half in the playoffs, because we were better at those things. But we got to manage the game. Manage the game so that you're not exposed defensively. You turn the puck over, it's really hard to get position back, get defensive side, you're outnumbered, you're scrambling. We don't want to be in those situations as much as we have been in the past. So making good decisions without the puck so that when we do surrender it, we're in a good position to defend.
As you self-scout and evaluate your coaching staff and even yourself, what areas would you like to see growth and improvement in?
Yeah, we need to do more to get sort of the ideas that I'm, mentioned before. That needs to be up and down the group. It needs to be in our spine. That's just what we do. That mentality, every shift, we're willing to do those, have those winning habits. And it's developing, I think a big part of it is developing the depth of our team so that it's easier to hold our players accountable to that standard, no matter who they are. And that's a big focus of what we're doing. That's why we've had such an emphasis on playing young players, is because in order to, you need guys who can do the job, and we're going to give young players the opportunity to show that they can.
Last one for you, Jeremy. What message do you have for the fans who were excited about the bubble success, right? But they also realize that this could require some patience, and I don't want to say dark years, but some, it's not going to be the trajectory is not going to be an upswing, right? It's not going to be a straight line. What message do you have for the fans to build the Blackhawks into a consistent winner again?
Yeah. Well, I think you kind of said it, like the progress isn't going to be a straight, this type of slope, right? It's going to be up and down, and that's how it is with young players. Like it's, they, they, take a big leap and then they regress a little bit. And then we got to, it's feedback. It's accountability. It's praise. It's finding a way to give them confidence in what they're doing. But we're on the right track. We have made progress and we did it with, you know, the youngest team in the league. So we're going to keep doing that. And there's no reason why we can't continue to see big strides made from our young players. And we're going to have new ones coming in. And that's exciting, all with the idea that we're looking ahead to how strong can we make this team next year, the year after, so that we can be, it's fun to play in the playoffs. It's fun to have a chance to compete for a cup. That's where we want to get to. The Blackhawks, I mean, they've been around for 100 years almost, and there's a tradition, and we want to add more banners. And that, to me, that's what we're working towards. This is what we feel we need to do to get there. And, you know, the support is welcome. We need it. It's especially for young players when they feel that I love the support from the people around it. It makes it a lot easier for them to feel confident that they can get it done. And, you know, that's appreciated, and it's going to help us get where we need to go.
My biggest takeaway from this conversation is that you're going to play the long game while you play the short game.
Yep.
Your eye is on building a perennial championship contender. And that means on a given night in January or February, you may take one step or two steps backwards to eventually take three or four forward.
Absolutely. And it's, you know, sometimes you take a calculated risk. It's like, you're not really sure if a player is ready for this situation, but until you try it, how will they show you that they are? And sometimes that's going to burn you. And that's part of it. But if they can be put there and they thrive and they succeed, that can just, it's like a rocket booster for their confidence. And then, you know, the player you have in the next week or two, and hopefully months down the road, they can just give you so much more. So sometimes, you know, short term, you kind of get flicked on the nose for it, but we're looking ahead, and that's kind of how we got to run things right now, I think.
Well, we're looking forward to seeing you on the ice coaching the boys in December, maybe when camp begins, and the season in January. In the meantime, you're honing your skills coaching Ben and Jack. What do you have when you walk into the rink? Do you have to consciously shift down about 10 gears, or how do you handle being dad coach versus NHL coach?
I think when you're coaching young players, it's like 6-year-olds, it's all about energy. So bringing the energy. So I got to get out of my comfort zone and just bring a little bit more, especially at 6:30 in the morning. Sometimes you need a little boost.
A little Tim Hortons.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, Jeremy, thanks a lot for doing this. We look forward to further conversations down the road.
Appreciate it. Thanks, guys.
So that's a wrap on this edition of the Blackhawks Talk podcast. Our thanks to Jeremy Colleton and the Blackhawks for making that happen. We thank you for listening. As always, coming up next week, we will recap our conversations with Stan Bowman and Jeremy Colleton. We'll get your thoughts as well on all of that. It's all coming up next week on the Blackhawks Talk podcast. We'll catch you next time.